Well, what a day of celebration. Amen. You glad to be here? How many of you have celebrated over 70 years of Christmas? Hold your hand up. I want to see who the senior adults are. Great. Great. Well, my 69th? Let's see. I was born 56. 69. Yeah, this is my 69th. Christmas, because I turned 70 in July, so I'm actually in my 70th year, but, well, you know, it's complicated. I love Christmas. Christmas was always a holiday at mostly the end of the celebration of what my family did, because Thanksgiving was the big holiday. That's the holiday that I really, really enjoyed. I loved getting together with family. My family always bird hunted. My dad raised bird dogs. And so in the morning, we would get up early, and the men would go bird hunting. And, of course, the women would stay home and do that wifely thing of fixing dinner for us. And we'd come in and eat like we were starving to death. And then we would lay down and watch football and fall asleep until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then we'd get up and go back out bird hunting because, you know, you don't want to miss the prime hours in there. And those are some of the sweetest memories of my entire life, more than a lot of things. Christmas was special in my family also. I was fortunate enough to be raised in a Christian home, so my dad was a deacon, and every Christmas tree that we ever had the Bible opened underneath it to Luke 2. That's the first thing that was put under there, and the last thing that we took out from under the tree. And every Christmas Eve, now, you'd have to understand my dad a little bit. My dad was not a shy guy. As a matter of fact, some would say he's much like I am. But he was not an extrovert. He was not one that would intentionally draw attention to himself, unlike me. I'll gladly draw the attention to myself. But every Christmas Eve, he only had a fifth grade education, I think. And so he always felt real incompetent in his reading or praying publicly or doing any of that. But every Christmas Eve, he would take that big Bible out from under the tree, and he would make all of us sit down, and he would read to us Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. And then at the end, he would always pray. He wouldn't ask anyone else to pray. He would pray, which was very much unusual for my dad. It took him many, many years before he would pray in church. And so for me to hear my dad pray, I love to hear my dad pray. And he always thought he did a horrible job of it. And almost every chance I got, I would ask him to pray because he just had a sweet spirit about what he was saying and what he was doing. He approached God's throne very humbly, and I appreciate that so much. So that's kind of my favorite Christmas memories. I had great gifts all through the years. Now, I never had chocolate-covered oranges. We didn't have orange tree that would grow oranges with chocolate on them. But maybe I'll come to your house this year and eat some oranges. But we had good stuff, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. We've got a lot of family coming in. Shelly's sister and her friend are coming to our home. Matter of fact, they're on the road today. Matthew's coming in. I hope he's on the road today. You never know with Matthew. He may be taking a side detour. And so pray for them. We're going to get to be home and have all the kids, and we're looking forward to that. Christmas is a celebration, and it should be a celebration. It's something that the whole world celebrates, even those that don't believe it. They celebrate it. But those of us who do believe the Christmas story, who truly believe that Christ came to bring to us everlasting life, and that he wasn't just someone randomly picked out of heaven or something that God conjured up. But hear me, he was God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. He was God. And so when the angels spoke to the shepherd and said, go and see this thing that has come to pass, they were going to look into the very face of God. Can you imagine? What a marvelous miracle story. Now, he came to earth for a specific purpose. He didn't come to grow up to be a good boy, to be a carpenter, to be obedient. He came up and came to earth to fulfill the will of the Father, that you and I might have an opportunity at everlasting life. He came to the cradle, and he was headed to the cross. The cross was the mission. The cross was the main goal. But he started as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. What a beautiful picture that is. Can you imagine that night when those shepherds got there and they arrived and they walked in that humble stable? First of all, they had to be thinking, what in the world is he doing in this stable? Because they understood who he was supposed to be, and yet here he is in this stable. And then when they got there, they realized not only was he there, but Mary gave birth there in that stable. What a humble picture. What a beautiful sight it is of God's endearing love to us, no matter what station of life we're in, no matter how good, no matter how bad, no matter how rich, no matter how poor. God loves us all equally. My wife used to have a little cartoon that sat was on our refrigerator for many years. You know, it was stuck there with an old magnet that hadn't been moved in forever. And it was a Family Circus cartoon. You remember Family Circus? Some of you do. Some of you are too young, too youthful for all that. But it was a cartoon about a mother taking care of three kids. And there was a little boy in this cartoon who looks up at his mom and he says, "How do you have enough love for me and all my siblings? If you love me with all your heart, how do you do that?" You know, she responds, "Well, God gives us more love to love others." You know, love is the only thing that when you give it away, you get it back in return many times a hundredfold. That's what God did. He loved us so much that he said, "I'm going to save them from their sins. I'm going to give them the avenue by which they come out." Now listen, Christmas is really an invitation. It's an invitation for God to say to you, "Hey, the greatest gift that was ever given was given to you in Bethlehem in a simple manger many years ago. But you have to receive it." I don't know about you, but Christmas morning, I will have already scoped out, bad knees, bad back and all, I will have already scoped out every package with my name on it. Just in case, Paige, somebody decides to take one back. I want them all. I want every one that I'm entitled to. There's not going to be a single package that I'm going to turn away. I got fake fried chicken this morning as a gift. That's right. In the children's Sunday school class, we had a birthday party for Jesus, didn't we? And it went well, I thought, didn't you? Except for the fake fried chicken. They have a demented, twisted Sunday school teacher in there who would give somebody chicken they couldn't eat. But when I get in the car, I'm going to give it a go, just in case. Yeah, every present I get, I'm going to open because I want it. You know, that's true in my spiritual life, too. I'm 70 in my 70th year. I'm 70 years old. And I've lived with God and for God and tried to live at God in his presence for 63 years. And yet today, if he said, "Frank, hey, I got something else for you," guess what? I want it. Shelly and I are going to leave here, and in March the 1st, we're going to plant a brand new church in New Bloomfield. From a church that has died, there was only 11 members left. They called me and said, "What can we do? How can you help us?" And we've hooked them up with another church in town, and they have voted to acquisition their property over to them, and they are going to become Freshwater of New Bloomfield. And Zach Fleer and I are going to be the pastor. He's actually going to be the pastor. I'm going to be the pastoral coach. I kind of like that that name. That means I get to yell at him. And we're going to get to see a new work. I have no idea what it's going to entail. I have no idea where God's going to lead us. But you know what? I want it. I'm positive is what God wants. Just like I was positive when God sent me here, what he wanted me to do. I wonder today, my sermon today begs the question from you. Do you know what God wants from you? For the last 2 weeks, we talked about Mary, who was told by the angel, this is what I want from you. Joseph then, who had doubts and was uncertain and was questioning life and all the loyalties and the people who said they loved him, did they really love him? And the angel came and said, they love you. Be obedient. Walk faithfully. Trust the Lord. Do that which you know. Joseph, be Joseph. Follow me. So I wonder today, do we know what God wants us to do? We're going to read a story out of Luke chapter 2 that you know very well. And not going to be much sermon to it, but we're going to give some ideas and some thoughts that hopefully you can take and will be an encouragement. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into the Judea, a place called Bethlehem, because of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was foretold them concerning this child. And all those that heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of young turtle doves or a pair of young pigeons. May the Lord add the blessing today to the reading of his word. Father, thank you today for this beautiful story. More than just a story, Lord, for this moment in history, when God, you stepped out of heaven and you stepped in our world in a stable in Bethlehem. Lord, nothing has so impacted the world as that moment. when Jesus was born here. Father, we thank you for loving us so much, as John 3:16 tells us. Father, we thank you for desiring us to be close to you. We thank you, Father, that even though our sin was offensive and horrific and changed the very nature of all creation, God, you still have a heart of forgiveness and mercy, of hope and love. God, you made provision for us and became the propitiation for our sin. Lord, we thank you for that this morning. We celebrate that this morning. We praise you for that this morning. And Lord, we do it all in the precious name of our Savior and Lord, the Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, last week we talked about Joseph getting to name Jesus as his earthly father. Remember, God gave him his name. His name was Jesus. Do you happen to know what the name Jesus means? Anybody know? Deliverer or Savior? Who said that? Oh, Kathy. You're right, Kathy. Savior, deliverer. That's right. That's what Jesus means. It's a short term of Jeshua, which was a term that meant deliverer. As you know, Joshua was the great deliverer, right? Everything in Old Testament ties intricately into the New Testament. And so Jesus became the Savior that saved us from our sins. Why? Because God said that where there is sin, there must be payment. The penalty, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Mom and Dad, that's why it's important when you tell these children, no, that means no. Don't tell them you're going to yank their ears off. If you do, yank their ears off. Don't make promises you're not going to keep. Because one day the Heavenly Father is going to say to them, unless you follow me, you're going to be disobedient. And they're going to, in their subconscious, say, yeah, Dad said he was going to pull my ears off, and he never did. That's why we need to be good, loving, corrective disciplinarians that love our kids and correct them. Nothing wrong with telling your kid no. Just know why you say no. Tell them why you say no. Now, my dad had a good answer that was pretty well universal, because I said so. Never did satisfy me much. I must admit I used it a time or two in raising my children. But God wants us to know why he had to come and pay the payment for our sin, became the propitiation. This story, this beautiful story of the Christmas story of the procession of events that took place from the very beginning of Mary being spoken to and Joseph being spoken to, and then their disciplined obedience to step out where God had told them to. And they went to this census. You know, the only reason the Romans had a census, right? They didn't really care how many people there were. They just didn't want anybody to miss paying taxes. It was a taxation census. So they would know who they could collect taxes from. And so a very worldly event brought them to a place where God could do a tremendously divine event in the midst of all of it. In precarious circumstances, Joseph shows up, betrothed to a woman who's obviously already pregnant. And they show them the stable, because there's simply no room for them in the inn. And God said the stable's fine. You know, that's the interesting thing about God. He'll take us from wherever we are. It's just like the Egyptians and the Israelites. When the Israelites were disobedient, he didn't send them back to Egypt and say, okay, let's start over. No, he took them right from where they were. Today you might say, oh, Brother Frank, you don't understand what my life has been like. You don't understand the history of my life. I don't care about the history of your life. What I care about is that you recognize that God wants you and loves you and wants to be with you and have fellowship with you. And he will take you right from where you are, exactly how you are. Now, he won't leave you that away. but he will take you that away. And all you have to do is be willing to say, here am I, Lord. Come and get me. And Christian, those of you like me who have been raised in church all of your life, and from time to time, you choose to do something that you know you shouldn't do. You know it's not the way that God wants you to behave. I always get tickled when people come to the pastor and say, Pastor, I know what you're going to say, and I know this is wrong, but I want to tell you what I'm going to do. And I won't look at them many times and say, there's no need for you to tell me. You've already made up your mind. You already know it's wrong. What am I going to do? Friends, today we all make those choices in our lives, but when we do, we have experienced God's grace. Have you experienced God's grace? Felt God say, hey, Frank, it's okay. You knew better than to do that. Maybe even, why did you do that? Or, you know what, I'm going to let you think on this a little while. See what you've done. And I have the opportunity to come and say, Heavenly Father, I'm sorry. I don't know about you, but I'm on a first name basis with Jesus. And I know some religions, that's offensive. You speak directly to God? I sure do. Matter of fact, those shepherds on those Judean hills, when they got to Bethlehem, they spoke directly to God. I don't think there's any mix of mystery or magic or mystology in this whole thing. God came and manifested himself in the form of a baby, and his name was Jesus. And he came and paid the price for our sins. He didn't send a good man. He didn't send an angel. He didn't look around to heaven and say, who can I gather up? No, sir. He said, I'll be the one. I'll go. And so today we worship not only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, but we worship the Creator, Sustainer of life, the Creator of everything and all that there was, the very portion of the Godhead that became the salvation for man in his wickedness of sin. He became what we could not. He did what I was unable. I had a debt I could not pay, but not a debt that was too far reachable for him. For you see, I believe he carried the sins of the entire world into the very depths of hell and dropped them off and said, I'm going to take these keys and I'm leaving. And there was nothing that could stop him because there was no guile in him. Hell couldn't keep him. Death couldn't capture him. Because he was holy and righteous. He was the God of the universe, the God of creation, the God of glory, the God of salvation. And when the Bible says that those shepherds came, they came looking to see what the angels had announced. They were absolutely mystified, terrified. But they were positive something phenomenal had happened. And they were going to come and see what that was. And as they did, the Bible says the sky lit up with the angelic host. And they looked right into the glory of heaven. Can you imagine? Now, folks, that's not a fairy tale. That happened on the Judean hills one night. And it shocked and bewildered those shepherds, but not so much that they didn't hurry to see this thing that they had been told. And when they got there, they found something very different. They found a quiet, humble, peaceful little stable. And in the middle was a manger full of hay and a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. And you can paint this story any way you want to, and I believe the Shekinah glory of God was all over him. And he just glowed. And the Bible says they worshiped him. Friends, today that's what Jesus wants us to do. They didn't go home and change their clothes. They didn't get out of their sheep's garment. No telling how long they'd been out there on those hills. No, sir. The Bible says they came with haste. They hurried to get there, to see this thing that had come to pass. Today, God doesn't care how dirty your clothes are. God doesn't care even how sinful your life has been. He just wants you to hurry. Come to Him. Pig pen and all. Just come to Him. He will take you and transform you. I'm confident these shepherds were never the same again. I'm confident it impacted their life to the point that they never forgot that evening. Bible says that while it was a wonderful sight, Mary pondered those things in her heart and she never forgot them. The Bible says 8 days later, it was completed that Jesus should come to the temple and be circumcised. And so he bore God's mark as a circumcised follower of Jehovah God. It says after that, the time of purification, which was about 40 days after that, Mary and Joseph brought him back to the temple, and there the sole purpose of bringing him was to give him to God. Doesn't that seem ironic? Bringing to give God to God. But that's what they did. Because they needed to be obedient to the law, and the law said that they should do that, and they sacrificed either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in honor and memory of what God had done. And then the life and ministry of Jesus began to unfold that made it possible that you and I can sit here today and say, I'm a child of the King. I'm not the pauper's son. He saved me. He forgave me. I was a wretched sinner, but now I'm saved by His amazing grace. Amen? I think I know why the Pentecost take victory laps, don't you? Just makes you just want to get up and get happy. And we should be happy. That's what Christmas is all about. It's a time to rejoice, for praise God, hallelujah, the Son of God is here and dwells among us. This morning we're going to have a time of reflection and really celebration, and a time that you can pray, and you can, if you have a decision you need to make, you can come, and we'll let you make that decision. The main thing is, I want you to think about, what do I have to give my Savior? Oh, what He gave to me. What do I have to give to Him? David in the 51st Psalm says that if it was material things, he'd give it. But he says, Lord, that's not what you want. What you want is a broken and contrite spirit in my heart. Oh, Lord, create in me a new heart, oh God. And create that new spirit within me. Let's pray together. Father, I have no idea how to ever thank you for sending me Jesus. Lord, for reaching down and touching me, but Father, for the plan of salvation, the plan that you had for all mankind. Lord, your word tells us it's not your will that any perish. Lord, you want all of us to know you. Lord, help me to have a burning hunger and a tenacity to bring people to Jesus. To help them see Him, know Him, taste what I've tasted, receive what I've received, feel what I feel, touch what I've touched. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that you will continue to put people in my path, that I can tell about you. Lord, until you take me home to be with you, Lord, I pray that my life is spent telling the story of Jesus. Thank you for this beautiful picture and the story that you give. Lord, be with us this morning. We're going to have an invitation, and then we're going to celebrate the birth of a saint. Lord, speak to us as we do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand together. We're going to sing a couple of verses of a hymn. And if you have a decision in your heart and life,